Well, today is our Mission Sunday. And actually, for our Mission Sunday, what we usually do is we have our collection, and we take all that we've collected for today, and we'll divide it between our missionaries in Cambodia, our project in Guatemala, and we have a Casey, who is going to go to Swaziland, not to be confused with Switzerland, and he's going to leave this summer. So we'll be sending him some of the money that we collected today. What I'm going to do today is read to you a letter from our missionaries in Cambodia. The records, Daryl and Kyle, what they do is they write to us a letter each time we have a Mission Sunday just to update us on their situation. And Daryl was kind enough to send me an email with his letter for us this week. And is it up there? Yes? All right, good. I'm not getting it on my screen. So this is his letter. It's called The Letter to the Mitakians. That's us. Four, I think. All right, so it reads, "Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from Daryl and Kyle, the servants of Jesus Christ, called of God to the Cambodians, and from baby Benjamin, who we pray will come to know Jesus at an early age. We are blessed and encouraged each time we think of our Mitaki family. We look forward to seeing you all again. We thank God for you and for how he uses you to help us continue in the ministry that he has given us here in Cambodia." Okay, now I'm not getting anything. Okay. We'll wait. Well, while we're waiting on that, actually, I want to tell you also, we had an email sent to us from Braden in Canada. And he, as you know, used to be our worship leader up until last month. And he sent us an email saying he's doing well. He sends his greetings and that he has found a church. The church is a wonderful church. They have six-hour services. And most of it is just in prayer. And then sometimes they'll have worship spontaneously. And he's still looking for a job and also an apartment. And so I think it's in our bulletins for today that he's found a church, but he's looking for an apartment and a job. So he sends us those praises and those prayer requests. What else? Along with your bulletin today, you've been given a kind of an update letter. It's called the Tokyo Sun, and hopefully you've got that handy somewhere in front of you. That is from missionaries to Japan from the Clendenins. And basically, John and his wife Kyoko, they are with a company called Campus Crusade for Christ, and they reach out to university students with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They go to the various university campuses in Japan to share Christ. And John's vision and his dream is to establish that ministry in Hiroshima someday. And for the past 5 years, he has been receiving training with that company, Campus Crusade for Christ, in Tokyo. And so right now, they have a ministry in Tokyo, and he's just received a new assignment, so he'll be there for another 3 years before they can come back to Hiroshima. That's eventually his dream is he believes his calling is to have a ministry set up in the campuses around Hiroshima City, from Shudo to Hirodai, to Keizai Daigaku, to everywhere. And so he sent us that email update. And so he's also part of the people that we pray for. And I thought it appropriate that we get an update from them as well today on our Mission Sunday. We don't support them officially, but we do lift them up in our prayers. Okay, sorry, people, for that. Good thing I brought a backup. We're having trouble with our computer. It's okay. It happens every month. And I'm just going to read the letter that Daryl sent. I had it up there on the PowerPoint ready for us so that we can read along. But it's okay. Okay, so Daryl sends his greetings. We thank God for you and how he uses you to help us continue in the ministry that he has given us here in Cambodia. I, Daryl, have just finished reading a book entitled Me, Myself, and Bob. The author was the creator of the VeggieTales Christian cartoon series. In the book, he writes about his dream, the rise of his ministry, and its financial collapse into bankruptcy. I highly recommend this book. This is a personal connection for me because he spoke at Kayo's graduation from Biola in 2003, just weeks after the bankruptcy. In the depth of his trial, he found that God was still there. It was the best commencement speech I have ever heard, and it was very timely, for I was going through a tough time. Since returning to Cambodia, we have entered a season in which God continues to open doors and revive dreams that he gave us, but for a while seemed impossible and insane. I shared some of this at the testimony service in January, but now I want to share the rest of the story. From 2000 to 2003, I was working as an English teacher in Cambodia with a Christian organization. During 2002, God revealed his calling for me to be a long-term missionary to Cambodia. More specifically, I was given the vision of bringing apologetics, which is evidence for the truth of Christianity and protection of the church from false teaching, to Cambodia and beyond. Exuberant with this revelation, I enrolled in the apologetics program at Biola. And soon after returning to the U.S. from Cambodia, I started a small apologetics ministry. I arrived in California bursting with expectations of my dreams coming true. And they did for a while. I shared God's calling to return to Cambodia as a missionary at a fellowship for international students, and one lady had a word that God would provide a wife to go with me. That word was from God, and just a couple of weeks later, Kayo and I began our relationship. Everything seemed perfect, but it wasn't. 1 month later, due to a series of trials, factors, and mistakes on my part, I had a total nervous breakdown. In the midst of my insanity, I even broke up with Kayo and tried to quit the university. On October 31st, 2003, I left Biola's campus willingly for the hospital. And just to make sure that I didn't change my mind, I was handcuffed and surrounded by police. This is not the way I intended to leave seminary. A couple of weeks later, I left the hospital with a diagnosis of bipolar disorder. No hope of recovery. A huge hospital bill. $800 per month medication bill that was not covered by insurance. A student loan debt. No real income. My reputation as a missionary Bible student destroyed. Relationships destroyed or uncertain. However, I had an unshakable sense that God was with me, Emmanuel. All I had was God, literally. Due to my insanity, my roommate got scared and moved out and took all his stuff with him, including the dishes and silverware, except for one cup, one plate, and one fork. A couple from church stopped by and gave me some soup, but I didn't have a spoon. But God provided a spoon. On the way back to my apartment, I met a Christian lady who gave me a spoon. The dreams and promises that God had given me seemed like fantasies of insanity. How could a mentally ill person become a missionary? Maybe I just imagined my calling. The obstacles and doubts were endless. God began the restoration process. Kayo did not feel like God wanted her to leave me, even though I broke up with her and tried to drive her away. She says Daryl was too crazy to break up with me. Biola let me return, and the professors mentored me and helped me to get back on track with my classes. Weeks later, still in the midst of this trial, I attended Kayo's graduation and was encouraged by Phil Vischer's speech, the author of the book he had read. God did an amazing work of restoration. In October 2004, Kayo and I were able to get married. God healed my bipolar disorder to the point that I have not needed or taken medication since October 31st, 2004. In 2005, I graduated from Biola with my apologetics degree. No deputies or handcuffs were required this time. In 2006, we were accepted as missionaries to Cambodia by a company called Mission to Unreached Peoples. In 2007, we came to Cambodia. Now, in 2009, we are beginning to see the work of the apologetics ministry unfold. I have become the director of the Advanced English Program, as well as being appointed to the leadership team for Mission to Unreached Peoples in Cambodia. God has allowed me to use the testimony of this trial to encourage some of the teammates that I am supervising. The only explanation for these successes is that they come from God. And here are some things that I've learned from this trial and some things that I was reminded of from reading Phil's book. Number one, we know that we are missionaries in Cambodia because God called us and made it possible for us to come and continues to make it possible for us to stay here. Without this assurance, we would probably give up and leave. We have trials, sickness, a week of food poisoning, a toothache and colds followed by serious eye infection. And Cambodia is a hostile environment in every sense of the word. Sometimes there are 12-hour blackouts, and a few weeks ago, a wedding tent was set up in front of our house, blocking our garage. and forcing us to flee to our teammate's house for the night. And even as I am writing at 6:30 in the morning, the neighbor's funeral is entering its fourth of 7 days, during which they blare chanting, mourning, and music over loudspeakers for 17 hours a day. Despite all of these frustrations and trials, we stay and continue our work because we have the assurance that God called us to Cambodia. If not, we would have already left the country. Number two, sometimes God gives a gift, a calling, a vision, or a dream, and we grab it and run too far with it on our own strength and our own direction. In those cases, He may allow our plans to fail so that we will learn to depend on Him. He wants us to learn to love Him more than the gifts and the visions and the callings He gives us. We see this in the Bible when God commanded Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, and in 2 Kings 4 when the son of the Shunammite widow died and Elisha brought him back to life. In my case, I think I confused my calling from God with my relationship with God. God had to take the calling off of the table for a while to make sure that I could tell the difference. Some of you at Mitaki may be discouraged or may even be experiencing the death of some of your dreams. And we want to encourage you. If the dream came from God, then God will resurrect it. If it came from your own mind, then God is just clearing your plate so He can add something better. God has a monopoly on the resurrection industry. Of course, others may be on cloud nine and just bursting with excitement from some revelation of God's plan for your life, and we're happy for you. Just don't forget the dream maker while you enjoy the dream. We appreciate your prayers, support, and encouragement. You are all a greater blessing to us and to the people of Cambodia than you will understand until heaven. Kayo and Benjamin are doing well and are adjusting to Cambodia despite the challenges. Benjamin continues to grow. He is getting tall, so even though he is 4.5 months, he is too long for some of his 6 to 9 month clothes. He is learning to roll over, sit up, and to scream like a rocket, but without explosion. God is also using him to open the hearts of Cambodians. Because of him, that's Benjamin, our relationship with our neighbors and Daryl's co-workers and other friends have gotten much better. Even with the help of Sampao, who is our house helper, and I can provide, Kayo keeps quite busy with Benjamin. She has been able to keep up with the bookkeeping and is encouraging our teammates and Cambodian friends. She was also invited to speak at a local Christian international high school about Christianity and Shinto and Buddhism in Japan. Some of the high school girls tried to propose marriage to Benjamin, but he wasn't interested yet. Okay, and then he goes into prayer requests. And the prayer requests, he has six of them. Just number one, health, protection, and strength. Number two, he asks for prayer for the advanced English program. He needs wisdom in management, in the finances, and the recruitment of students, and the relationship with the university. Number three, he asks for wisdom and guidance for the missions to unreach people's leadership position. They have a conference on May 10th and 11th, so he's asking for prayer as Daryl is doing the planning of the logistics. Number four, as you know, Daryl is publishing a book about the defense of Christianity, and he's asking for prayer for the publishing process. He just received an email from his publisher. The book is good and is very close to being ready to print. It's a little bit long for the format, so please pray for wisdom in shortening and focusing and dividing the book. Fifth, he's asking for prayer for language study. And for those of you who are studying languages, you can relate to his need for prayer. And finally, they have visitors from the U.S. This week. So if you could pray for them, they would appreciate it. And then in Christ's hands, Daryl, Kyle, and Benjamin. And then he sent along some pictures as well of the wedding tent and Benjamin, but not this week. So if you would like a copy of the letter, go ahead and contact me. I'll be happy to pass it along to you in due time. Okay. That was our word from our missionary in Cambodia, and we'll be sending him a portion of the offering that we received today. If you would go ahead and turn with me into your Bibles to the book of Joshua. We're in chapter 24, and I'll be just sharing a short, brief word with you as our time is short today. The book of Joshua, chapter 24. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then Joshua, towards the beginning of your Bible. Chapter 24 is the last chapter in that book, Joshua chapter 24. And we're going to read just two verses, verse 14 and verse 15. Joshua 24, verse 14 and verse 15. And that, if you're there, here we go. We're going to read verse 14 and verse 15. Let me get there. Okay, let's read. Now, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We'll conclude our reading there. Let me give you a little bit of the context of this word. Chapter 24 of Joshua is basically Joshua, the leader of the Israelites up until this point, has called a large assembly of all of the leaders of the country together. He did so in chapter 23. He gave a sermon at that time and he finished it, and that sermon was on faithfulness. You can catch that message from last week on the internet. And then on a different occasion, he calls them back one more time, because now he wants Israel to make a choice. He's asking Israel to make a decision. And chapter 24 is his setup for them to make their decision. And in the beginning of the chapter, all the way up leading to verse 14, verses 1 through 13, Joshua gives them the whole history of where they have come from, all the way up until now. And he's showing them, look, Israel, God has brought you from the land of the Chaldeans, a wonderful land, but a land with many gods. And he called a man, your father Abraham, and he called him from that land into a land of promise where you are now. And then he took you and brought you down into Egypt, and he grew you into a people. And then once you were a people in Egypt, he took you out of the oppression, out of the slavery, and brought you into the land which you are in. And you fought battle against battle and after battle, king after king. And he's brought you into this land, not by your strength, but by his power. Not by your plan, but by his will and his purpose. And now you are in this land where you are living in cities that you did not build. And you're eating from vines that you did not even plant. In fact, the battles that you won, you didn't even have to fight. And it says there that before you even came, God sent hornets ahead of you. And those hornets did the fighting for you. And what happens was the hornets come, the sound of them, you know, messes up the psyche of the enemy, and even the stings attack them. All Israel had to do was come in and finish the job. But God was the one who brought them into this land. So Israel, take a good look about where you come from, where you've been, and take a good look of where you are now. Okay? And make a choice. Because everything that you've been through and all the success that you have now is from one person, and that is God. All that you have is because God has blessed your life. And what you need to do today is to make a choice. Because Israel, what you still have in your life are some small gods, are some little things that have not even done one thing to help bring about what you have right now. You have these gods from your fathers, from beyond the river. And that river, the river is the Euphrates River. And basically he's saying that those little gods that they inherited from Abraham and Sarai, that they took from the Chaldeans, and they're just little family heirlooms. They're just little gods, little statues, and that they've just kept and saved. And those are the little gods from beyond the river. And they keep them just because, you know, they're kind of a family heirloom. And they think maybe that's a good luck now. Okay? Or there's the other gods of the Amorites. These are the gods of the people of the land which they conquered. And so they go in and they take over the land of Canaan. But there's the people who live there have left their gods. And they have little statues and little figures of their gods. And they tell the people, well, this was our God, and he was the God who makes our land fertile. And this is another God, and he was the God who allowed it to rain. And so they have these little gods that they can believe in. And Joshua looks into the homes of the Israelites, and he sees that they still have these little statues, these little gods in their house, and in their homes, and in their tents. And he says, what do you have these things in your life for? What's the point of having these little gods when everything that you have comes from the one God who brought you this far? And so he's saying, Israel, today, make a choice. Choose for yourselves whom you will serve. And once you make that choice, whether it's God or these little gods, know one thing for sure, that as for me and my house, we are going to serve God. We're going to serve the Lord. And Joshua's word for Israel is Jesus' word for us today. And that is, examine your life. Take a look at the grace that God has given to you. And like Paul says in Romans chapter 12, therefore, in light of all of the grace that God has given to you, he's taken you from out of the muck and out of the mire. He's delivered you from out of your insanity, out of your own miserable life that you made, the mess that you made, and he's taken you out of that. He's given you a new life, new hope, eternal life. In light of all that, and also in light of the fact that he's put his spirit inside of you to give you wisdom and to give you joy and to give you peace, he's given you all of that. Not only that, but he's given you hope for eternity, that you don't have to fear death, that knowing that because of Jesus Christ, even if you were to die today, you would be with the Lord in heaven where there is fullness of joy. He has given you all of that. And because of that, I implore you, as Paul says, to offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That is your spiritual act of worship. That's Paul's message to the Romans. That's Joshua's message to Israel. And so for each of us, we are called even today to make a choice, to make a decision, just as Joshua asked Israel. Whom will you serve? Do you have these little superstitions in your life? And you think, these little habits or these little things that will help you get along, that will bring about blessing, that will bring about change. Do you have these old ways of thinking, these old habits that you know have nothing to do with the Word of God, and they're against God's will? Make a choice, make a decision today whom you will serve, which way you will follow. I promise you, follow Christ, follow the way of the cross, deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow him. That's all you need. That's the choice that you have to make. Obedience to Christ is everything that you need to enjoy the grace of God, the peace of Christ in your life. Jesus Christ himself says in Luke chapter 16, verse 13, he's giving a story of a man who was very rich, of a manager. And at the end of that story, he says, look, the bottom line is this. You cannot serve two masters. You can only serve one, because you're going to serve one and hate the other, or you'll be devoted to one and just completely forget the other one. A man cannot serve both God and money. Man cannot serve both God and himself. A man cannot serve cannot live by God's way and his own way. A man cannot have it. Walk according to God's plan and his own plan. You have to make a choice, make a decision. Which way will you walk? Will you turn away from your way and turn towards God? And if you do that, all the promises of this Bible are available to you. And so if you've made that decision already, if you've made that commitment already, you're just like Israel. God was already Israel's God, but still, Joshua had to remind them of this choice that they had to make. So that's something we need to do. We need to renew our commitment. We need to renew our decision to follow God, to give our lives to him as often as Israel had to. And say, Lord, this day I'm going to lay down that old way of thinking. This day I'm going to set aside those old gods, those old idols that I have, and follow your way completely. And if you've made that decision, again, praise the Lord. Give glory to God. Thank you, God, for being in my life, for blessing me, for giving me joy, for giving me peace. Give him the glory. But if you have not made that decision yet, if you are still waiting, Joshua's word to Israel was, choose this day whom you will serve. Today is the day of salvation. Maybe you're thinking about what Jesus has claimed. You're investigating the Word of God, and that's a good thing. And you're thinking about, you know, the truth of the Bible and wondering and comparing that to the other truths that are out there or the other ways that are out there. That's fine. God wants you to examine his Word and his truth. But still, you need to make a choice. And that choice needs to be made sooner, better than later. Hebrews says in chapters 9, it is appointed for a man to live once, to die once, and then give an account to his to his maker. Your chance is today. Your chance is now. Choose this day whom you will serve. And I implore you, I urge you with with the Spirit of God to say yes to God, yes to Jesus Christ. Follow him. We are all called to make a choice, to make a decision. Choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Shall we pray? Shaja, I'd like to ask you to come on up and lead us. Heavenly Father, I just pray for decisions to be made today, for commitments to be renewed today. Lord, that people would choose again, even now, to follow you, to live according to your way. Lord, if there are old habits, old ways of thinking, old superstitions, Lord, that need to be removed, I pray that they would be thrown away, as Joshua says, Lord. And Lord, I pray that decisions to follow you would be renewed today. God, that we would turn away from sin, turn away from disobedience, turn away from our own plan and purpose, and turn towards you, O God. For this grace we will thank you in Jesus' name. Father, I also want to pray for those who have still not made a decision, still cannot choose which way they will go. I pray that you would make it clear to them which way they should go, which way they can go. And Lord, give them the grace, God, to make the right decision. And we'll thank you for that also. In Jesus' name, amen.